Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support. We are listening in 8 countries. Can you believe that? 8 countries.
Awesome.
I'm loving the support. I'm loving everything that you guys are throwing my way. And I wouldn't have a show without the listeners and my amazing guests that I would have on my show. And today is no different. Today we're going to super kick our way to success with Sam Wigger. What's up, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Sean, it's an honor to be on the show, my friend. Thanks for the opportunity. Really looking forward to it, man.
Dude, I'm super pumped, man. Like, dude, you're 3 hours away from me, man. 3 hours away in Charlotte.
Yeah. Where are you? Where's home base for you?
Yeah, Goldsboro, man. About an hour east of Raleigh.
Nice. I didn't know you were that close. That's awesome. We should hang out sometime in person.
Man.
Not just over the air, you know?
yeah, no kidding, right? So
Let's
learn more about Sam. Super Kicks is a family-based business Sam Wigger started at age 15. Unbelievable. Coming from a homeschool background, 7 siblings, and dedicated parents going on 33 years of marriage, Sam is keenly aware of the intricacies of relationships and the importance of close-knit family. His family background inspired him to infuse his business with the values of character, honesty, discipline, fun, and hard work, all invaluable in any thriving family or business community. He has now been an instructor for over 12 years. After graduating high school at age 15, Sam dove headfirst into his first entrepreneurial and leadership venture by purchasing and operating Super Kicks Karate in Amherst, Virginia. He quickly became AFKA certified, becoming one of the youngest chief instructors in the United States. Over the next 3 years, he grew his school in Amherst to record numbers despite a town population of only 1,500 people. After seeing the success of his first school, he started a second school. It started very small, meeting in a hotel, and in only 12 months' time, grew into one of the most successful martial arts schools in the entire country. Sam enjoys almost any outdoor activity, including mountain biking, skiing, and backpacking. He has a passion for teaching and inspiring others to reach their full potential. He has had the privilege of teaching thousands of students in public and private schools across Virginia. He continues to grow his circle of influence and has recently opened up a black belt leadership school in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Charlottesville, Virginia. Dude, 15? Are you kidding me? 15 years old?
You know, well, when you're,
you know,
when you're homeschooled, what happens is you don't have a lot of friends, but you get a lot of schoolwork done. I had some really cool opportunities and some really cool people that believed in me at a super young age. And here's what I found, man, it's just all we need sometimes is for someone to come alongside of us and see something in us that we don't see in ourselves and say, hey, I think you could be blank. You know, I don't know how you started this radio show, Sean. I'm sure you can talk about that, but you know, I believe that anything in life that person aspires to accomplish at the end of the day is because someone inspired the belief in them. And that person could have been a parent or a teacher or a coach, or, you know, for me, it was my martial arts instructor. He threw my arm around me at about 13 and said, I want you to become an instructor. And I want you to help people earn their black belt and become leaders and run schools. And so ever since then, that was the beginning of the journey, my friend. It's been amazing ever since.
That's amazing. I mean, I just – because what's awesome is that earlier this year, in about February, March-ish, end of February, beginning of March, my wife and I decided that we were going to homeschool our 14-year-old. The school's out here,
nice.
Not that great, and he wasn't doing really well. And I was like, man, I know I can do better. Like, I love speaking and training and teaching. Like, I know I can do better. So the first thing I did, I pulled him out of school – first thing I did was I slid this book across the table to him, and I said, this is your English assignment. And then, of course, I did math and everything else. I said, his English assignment, this is your book, bro. And so his first English assignment was How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Nice. A classic. A classic.
Like, that's his first one, right? And
that's
so
right.
In his, so the next book he's going to read is Tim Rhodes' favorite book is How to The Richest Man in Babylon. And so that's his next book he's going to read.
Love
and
it.
So I'm like, dude, why not? Like, if I'm going to teach him, right? Like, why not teach him what he's going to need in the world? Like, I know for a fact since I graduated, since 2001, I think I graduated high school. Like, I have never once used the Pythagorean theorem, see what I'm talking about? Like, who even uses that? Like, if you're going to build something, sure, you know, A squared, B squared, got it. But, dude, I'm not building, like out of wood and, like, no, that's not what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't serve me.
Totally. And anyone who's a teacher maybe listening to this, I got to give it to our teachers that teach in our schools.
Sure,
I mean,
absolutely.
Saints.
Yeah.
They deal, you know, with these children and teach them, and they're really nurturing the next generation. That being said, I'm a firm believer that our education system, at least our public education system that's in America today, was really built for a different time period. You know, it was built for an industrial age where the buzzer goes off, and you sit at your seat, the buzzer goes off again. But that was built to create people and to build people into that worked great jobs in the industrial age. But our world is so much more diverse today. It's so much faster paced. It's moving so much faster, and you need a lot more skills, I feel like. And so, you know, and I teach in a lot of public and private schools. And being in the public and private schools, I go in, we'll teach anti-bullying programs. We teach them to build their confidence and their discipline through martial arts. But at the end of the day, Sean, I just I can't wait to get out of there. I feel like they're like jail, sort of. And I'm like, oh no, I wouldn't do it to my kids. I just wouldn't do it. I just feel like, and again, nothing against the people that choose this route, but just it's not the route for me. And I think that there's so much more to learn. And my mom did this 8 times. My mom is a homeschooled mom with 8 kids. And I was listening to her just 2 days ago. Someone ran up to her and said, "Hey, you know, you homeschooled 8 kids, and they all turned out super successful. And what did you do?" And she goes, "Here's what I learned: homeschooling is about teaching your kids to teach themselves." And I thought, I didn't even know my mom was doing that to me, but it's true. At 11 or 12, I was doing my own work. And it sounds like that's what you did when you slid the book across the table. You know, it's like you're teaching your kid, hey, learn. You got to read. You got to learn. And that's what we need in our culture today. No one's going to spoon feed us or even hand us everything. We've got to be able to go out there and make it happen for ourselves. I believe that's a big piece of the new economy. So, yeah, you got to go out. You got to learn.
Oh, yeah,
you got to be self-motivated, man, if you're going to really be something.
True. Yeah, absolutely. So with that said, right, this is a great segue into our first question that we always ask on the show, why? Why do you do what you do? Is it because of what your mom instilled in you? Was it a passion? Like, what was the turning point for you?
Yeah, I was just the other day on the call I was on where the M1 call, I can remember back to a moment, and I'll share this moment, and then I'll really give my real reasons why now, because I think it evolves, right? Like, I think the why evolves. But if you're asking, hey, what was your initial, like the initial why, like what gave me enough energy, which I find a lot of times people just don't have enough energy to get that thing that they've always dreamed about going. Like, they always want this, or they always want to start the business, or they always want the relationship, they always want this. But I think sometimes you got to get enough leverage, right? You got to get enough energy underneath you, enough fire underneath you to say, you know what, enough. I've been talking about it long enough. I'm going to actually go do it. So for me, that was a moment as a young kid where I was just sitting around sharing some goals with some friends. All my friends when I was younger were just a bunch really old, much older than me. And I wanted to impress my friends. I wanted to be when you grow up with 8 kids, you kind of have that, like, and I'm a middle kid too. So, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I didn't get enough attention as a kid. Maybe I did. I don't know. My parents were awesome. Nothing against them at all. They gave us so much love. But I wanted to be somebody. And the people that I looked at in my life that had money, I don't know. I just connected with them. And I said, you know what? I want to be somebody. And the way that I'll impress my friends is I'll have more money than them. And so
awesome.
When it got to me in this little circle, we were sitting out in the front yard. And everybody was sharing one goal that they wanted to accomplish in their lifetime. And it got to me, and I'm thinking, like, what could I say? What could I say that would impress them? What could I say that impressed them? And it got to me, and I said, I will be a millionaire. And the guy next to me looks over and says, man, I just know that that, like, at my age, that stuff's not important. Like, it, you'll understand one day it's not important. And I just remember, regardless of what he said or not is true, I just remember feeling right. like, don't tell me what to do. Like, I will, I felt like I got shot down. So I said, you know what? That was the moment I said, I will do it. And I didn't say anything with my mouth. I just, in my heart, I resolved, I am going to be a millionaire. And to be honest, I'm not even sure if I knew what a millionaire was back then. I just knew it meant you had some money. And I'm proud to say that I achieved $1 million in net worth, probably around the age of 21.
Wow.
Depending on how you count the net worth for my business, but
sure.
Yeah. And so I'm really proud of that. But then let me take it one step further, Sean, because I love your question, man. Why? It's so huge. That was the initial why, was income. Mm-hmm. Was income. But I gotta say that, as I grew and as I learned and as I really was inspired by some of my mentors, it transitioned to impact. And so if anybody asks, hey, like, what are some big motivators from you? I say, you know what, at the end of my life, I want to be able to say that I inspired a bunch of people and I made a big difference in a bunch of people's lives. And so there's my impact. And you know what? I want to make a bunch of money doing it. So there's my income. And
yeah, right.
As my life has expanded and I've become more mature, I feel like I've added in this other word that doesn't really start with an I, but I make it start with an I. It's called enjoyment. So spell that with an I, and you got the income, impact, and enjoyment means I'm having fun and I'm getting to talk with badasses like yourself and just enjoying life, man. Like, that's it. So I hope that gives you an idea, man. That's how the why started and that's how it's transitioned. I tell my students and my staff, I said, you know what, this is really truly transforming from money, from being about all about the money, which I got to admit, I it was all about the money for me at the beginning. It was about me wanting to be,
sure.
I wasn't raised super rich. I wanted to make money, man. I wanted to buy nice things and have the car that I just bought and have the house and all this stuff. But I tell my staff, I say it's transformed from money to a ministry. And that's where I'm at right now.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, man.
Boom, that's huge.
Yeah.
So who were you? Like, what type of person were? I mean, I'm sure you were just as amazing person as you are now. But I mean, what, like, who was Sam at? Let's say 18, because you know you started everything at 15, right?
Sure.
So who around like 18? So you're kind of in the thick of things at that point. Who was Sam when you were 18?
Totally. Hey, do you mind if I share, just because I think this will be really good for any listeners, do you mind if I share who I was at like 10 and 11 real fast, and then I'll transition to 18?
Yeah, dude, I love it. I wasn't going to go back that far, but I was kind of curious. Like, okay, well, you were homeschooled, and I'm really curious about it.
So the reason I even bring that up is because I think – I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, my strengths – and I don't know if everybody's like this, but it might help people if they're in that position of their life where they're like, man, what are my strengths and what am I really good at? And where? I think that your strengths develop young, but they're just not really obvious. And so I got a little story. I was literally just thinking about this the other day. When I was 10 or 11, I wanted to build – my parents lived on this like 5 acres, kind of in the country. Well, not even kind of in the country. We were in the country. Our nearest town was 30 minutes away, and it had 40,000 people. And I just remember I was homeschooled, and so I remember one of my biggest dreams growing up was I wanted to build this trail that I could hike or bike on all the way around my parents' property. And so what I did is I recruited my brother, who was 2 years younger than me, and I recruited my best friend at the time. And I'm like, and I pitched him on this vision, literally as much of it as a 12-year-old could. I was like, guys, it's going to be awesome. It's going to go all around our land, and it's going to be like a mile and a half long. And all we need to do is grab the machetes and clear the trail and like all the way around. And so I thought about that the other day, though, because I was like, actually, I'm doing that same thing right now with my life. And okay. I'm being a strategist, and that was what I do. And I'm being a visionary. And so my strengths, I feel like, came out super young, and just in a weird way. And so I think it could help people if they thought back to, you know, what did you love doing when you were 10, 11, 12? Like, for me, I wanted to build stuff, and so that's what I get to do now. I build stuff. I've just been soaring with my strengths. I feel like, and that I'm building a business. And back then, as a 10, 11, 12 year old, I wanted to pitch people on my vision. And I was more the visionary guy than I was the guy that would, like, I'd get out and I knew people decided to really make it work. And I feel like that's what I get to do today. I have the vision. I'm the visionary. That's a strength of mine. I know where I want to go, and I get to pull people along with me. It's just a larger scale, and now there's money involved. There wasn't money back then.
Perfect.
It's cool, and it's fun, and so I'm just playing the same freaking games that I played as a 10, 11-year-old now. Anyway, I thought that was a really cool insight, honestly, just for me the other day. I'm like, I'm living out who I wanted to be. The thing I wanted to be when I grew up was the president of the United States. That was the biggest thing. I just thought, I got to be the president. And I asked myself the question, I don't think I'm going to become the president. Who knows? But I said, what was it about becoming the president? And I said, I wanted to be a leader. I wanted to be someone that others looked up to. I wanted to do the right thing. I wanted to lead big things. And I just thought, that's what I'm doing today. So I think that there's a lot of keys in our childhood to our strengths. And so maybe that'll help somebody.
Yeah.
But who was I at 18? Man, I was a hard worker. I was working 40, 50, 60, 70 hour weeks, out to prove to the world and my parents and my mentors and my tribe, if you will, which is just so important for people to have that around them and the people around me.
Yeah.
I was out to prove that I could be somebody. And I could run a business and I could be successful and I could make six figures and I could. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that motivation. And that motivation does burn up after a while. And you're like, I don't think it's super sustainable, but, but as an 18-year-old, I'd have to say I was out to just, to make a somewhat of a name and honestly, just to prove that I could be successful. In my own definition as an 18-year-old, which really honestly
Perfect.
At that time just meant making money and impacting people along the way. So does that answer your question,
dude, that's
man?
Awesome.
That's a good question.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
I
love that. Like, I feel like we're like along the same lines because I literally remember and for me it was more out of – like desperation because I grew up, like my mom worked multiple jobs and I didn't know, but I would hear like my family talk like, oh, I bounced another check. And I'm like, bounce. Like to me, I'm like fourth grade. I'm like, bounce, like literally bounce it like a bouncy ball. Like, what I mean? I'm like, I don't know what that stuff means. Right. We don't learn about checks and stuff,
That's right.
And I remember, wanting things, but never really having anything. So fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I distinctly remember I was like, I'm going to do something to like, to help the family. And so in Michigan, we get a lot of snow. We have all four seasons. And so all through the winter, I was out from like on the weekends at night, it'd be like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I'm still doing it. School night didn't matter. I was out shoveling snow and clearing driveways and helping people out like $10 a house, $10 a house.
Awesome.
So it was all about quantity. Cause I had to hit an X amount of, I had a piece of paper, like an Excel sheet. Like it was one of those little graph things that we had in school.
Right, right.
I was, okay, if I do this much and I do this house and I do this, ooh, I'm going to get that. And so I literally had like a target week and I had a target. And my mom's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to make me a ton of money, whatever. And then I became, it's just like anything else, man. I became older and I was like, meh, what is this mirror stuff that I'm doing? I want to go play with friends. And so I get out of that phase. I go into another phase. And then I get into high school and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to like fix cars and I'm going to, I'm going to do this other stuff. But all I know is that I'm destined to do something amazing in the world, whether it takes me to $1 million or not. Believe that I am destined to do something great. My mom thinks it's because I'm in the military. I'm like, meh, maybe.
Yeah.
But everything that we're going through and everything that we're doing is just preparing us for the next chapter and the next and the next and the next.
Dude,
and at any moment we have the power to say, this is not the end of my story. I'm not giving
up. That's right. And I want to say, cause I'm a millennial, so I'm 26. I'm smack dab in this millennial generation that people say are entitled and aren't hard working.
Geez.
And I laugh in the face of that. However, I gotta say,
me too.
I know you do. You're awesome. I gotta say though, because I did struggle with this, I think the cry of our generation, of the millennial generation, is like, we want to make a difference. Like we want to do something great. And I gotta say that I think there is some harm with that. And the harm is there is a lot of power in doing like when we say we want to do something great, I feel like the people that we compare ourselves to are the celebrities. And I did this for so long, right? I'll give you an example from my own life. So I run martial arts schools, and in every martial arts school, you know, we've got 300 or so students. We're opening up our fourth one. So we've got about 900 students in my organization, in my tribe right now, which is super cool, right? But do you know how often and how easy it is in our Facebook culture and our to compare what I'm doing to someone who is a celebrity with 2 million, you know, millions of followers, and to be like, oh man, I'm not doing something great, and I gotta smack myself and just say, wait a second. So I made a little deal with myself. I made a little deal with myself a while ago, and I told myself, I said, you know what? It's so easy for me to compare my behind the scenes, you know, my own thoughts, my emotions, the things that go on in my head, with everybody else's highlight reel that they post on Facebook. And that quote comes from my pastor, Stephen Furtick. He's an awesome guy. He says, you know, we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. You got to stop. And he goes, and so I'm over here doing great work, as many of your listeners are probably doing in their lives, just great work. And yet I feel like crap. I think it's can feel like crap. I don't feel like crap right now, but I'm saying it's easy when we compare ourselves to other people. So I think it's a real cool thing to do, to just recognize that I made a deal with myself. I said, you know what? If my life, if it impacts one person at a deep level, I have no idea of the domino effect of that impact. And so yes, I want to impact millions, and yes, I'm going to land on the moon and, you know, land on the moon, figuratively speaking, meaning like I'm going to do big things in my life. But at the same time, I will recognize that me showing up today at work, me showing up in front of that 6-year-old today that needs me at the studio, that is great work. Like, that is doing something great. Cause I just feel like I just get around a lot of these people, man. They feel like they're not doing something great because they're not this superstar person. And I just I just want to grab them and be like, no, like you are just like, work your window, do what you're doing right now and it'll grow, but you don't need to become a YouTube superstar in order to do something great. Does that make sense? I'm just trying to paint the opposite picture a little bit.
Dude.
Yeah. I just think it's so
100%.
Our culture needs it.
100%. If you can impact 5 people in your life that is like in your immediate circle, it'll translate because those 5 people will go and influence people in their own circles. And it's like you throw a stone into a pond and ripple.
Right.
And that's what we do, man. I'm with you, man. At the end of my life, I want someone to tell me that because of you, I did not give up. Because of you and your influence and your value, I was able to, you know, XYZ. And I love, dude, bro, I don't know if you meant to. I love how you said all that because, we met last May at the One Life Fully Lived conference.
Yes.
Right? And I was like, holy crap. And you were the moderator for the meetup group that I was in. And I was just like, me and Bears, we were just like blown away. I'm like, holy crap, dude. Like our room was amazing. Our session was awesome.
And
I was in the middle of, and it literally, man, no joke. I've said this to Tim. Tim and I have had a couple conversations, and I told him, I said, dude, I was ready to just give up and just stay in the military and just live my, you know, normal life that I was living, whatever.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't have went to that conference, dude, I would not be sitting where I'm sitting today and getting the chance to do things that I'm doing.
Goosebumps.
I was reinvigorated, bro.
Wow.
I was like, man, I couldn't finish my book. I can't finish my book. I don't know what to write. I'm like halfway done. I wanted to be, I'm a failure at that. I was just, there was no purpose and passion. I was in the military. I wanted to be a speaker. I was doing some resiliency training because that's my passion is resilience. And I'm really working my skills. Like April, May of last year, I'm working my skills like overtime. You know what I mean? Like the belt's burning off. belt is smoking. You know, I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm like, dude, I've gotten one paid engagement in like 6 months. I'm like, dude, the speaker business sucks and I don't want to do this. And maybe I don't want to be a coach. And maybe I'll just do things for free and help people out and whatever. I come back from the conference. I reset. I literally like figuratively like just wipe the slate clean. I'm like, what do I got to do? And I implemented the things that I – and I spoke at that conference, too, about becoming successful, which I was like, come on, man. So I literally took that week, and I was like, here's what I'm going to do. Boom. And then by the next conference in October, my book was finished. I had 3 paid gigs and helped them build that one – my One Life Roadmap course and all that. And, dude, I was, like, on, like, cloud
Good
9,
for
man.
You.
And that – right there that you were talking about was my number one self-defeating behavior along with everybody else's. My, like, it'd be like me comparing myself to John Broman and Ziegler and Les Brown and Gary Vaynerchuk. And, you know, how come I'm not where they are? When you compare your chapter one to somebody else's chapter 20, you are surefire way to fail. You're
That's right.
done.
That's right.
So I love how you said that, man. That,
yeah.
That's so, and I want everybody to realize that.
And I thought of an example as you were talking, because your life transformation, I got goosebumps as you just said all of that. That's awesome, man. I mean, just I didn't know all of that. I didn't know that that was your transformation from the last One Life where we first met. So congratulations on that. I mean, it's huge. You are living your dream, and I freaking love it. But I thought about my mom. I just want to share this, because you've done obviously some amazing things in your life. And my mom has 8 kids, and she chose to homeschool them all. And she's one of my greatest heroes. One of my greatest heroes will always be my mom, because for 35 years of her life, she gave and she gave and she gave, and she supported her family, and she raised these kids, and she homeschooled them, and she had a bunch of home births, and she just did it. And for 35 years, she raised kids. And I think in our culture, a lot of times that's looked down on a little bit, but I just gotta say, like, that was her calling, and I think of her. I put her up there with the Gary V's and the Tony Robbins of this world, because she's built an organization. Now, granted, it wasn't like Tony Robbins' organization or Gary V's organization, but she's built an organization. Her 8 kids have all gone out and done amazing things. We got my older sister has a piano studio that teaches piano. My brother travels the world and videos things. And I got brothers in martial arts that impact our 900 students that we have. And so I just feel at the end of the day, man, that was her calling. That was her window. And so it wasn't extraordinary. It wasn't like maybe to a lot of people, it wasn't like an amazing calling. It wasn't flashy. It wasn't sexy. But at the end of the day, she worked her own window. And she did it. Like, she's somebody, and she's one of my greatest heroes. So I think there's just so many of those unsung heroes out there that are just doing their thing.
That's awesome. Dude, it's even the small things, but she was just the conduit, man. She was just the vehicle to put change into the world, you know?
That's right.
Super huge.
So, hey, while
you're just
throwing up.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
You were throwing out some book recommendations earlier, so I want to throw this one in here. I read this little book that this fits into this whole topic, this whole conversation we're having, called Soar With Your Strength. And I just think it was an analogy of a bear and a rabbit and a squirrel all going to school, and they walk into school, and obviously, like, the bear's better at running, but the duck, I think it was a duck in there too, was better at swimming, and so since the bear was best at running, his teachers were like, hey, you don't need to run anymore. You need to go swimming. And he was like, but I'm not good at swimming. But they took him out of running, which is what he was good at. And they made him swim because he sucked at that. And it was kind of this analogy for how we learn today and what our school system does. And then they took the duck, who was really great at swimming. And they were like, oh, you don't need to swim anymore because you're awesome at that. You need to run. And the duck was like, I hate school. You know, I want to do what I'm good at. And I just think that we've all got different strengths and gifts. So kind of going full circle to what we talked about, if we can really develop those and find out what they are even from a young age, then just roll with those.
Absolutely.
Even if culture or even if the world doesn't say that those are the sexiest gifts to have, like, go freaking roll
right.
with those. Do what you can.
Absolutely.
That's
well
so
said.
On that topic.
Perfect. Dude, I love it. So if you're just joining us, we are live on Life Transformation Radio with Sam Wieger. If you have a question for Sam, you can call in 683-1109. Again, 657-383-1109. So, Sam, looking back, what was your transformation? You know, what was that tipping point? How did you get to where you are today?
Wow. Big question.
Oh, yes, the hard questions on this show.
I mean, how did I get to where I am today? Yeah, that's a tough, I mean, there's so many little things that go into the journey, right? It's like, it's just, there's so many decisions along the way, and you don't even know what the end result is going to be. You just kind of follow your path. But if I had to point to a couple things, Sean, I would say, I mean, things that you preach and the groups that you're a part of preach, man, it's just, it's accountability. It is having a mentor, okay, having a coach. It's being invested in the coach. I can't tell you the people people will tell me, oh yeah, I have a coach. I'm like, great. Well, how much, you know, do you pay that coach? Do you invest in that coach? And they're like, no. Like, no, you're not going to really take the advice of a coach. I don't think that you're not invested. So you got to be invested somehow, some way, I believe. So I think that's been big. I think that's been a big key for me to get where I am today. I think here's the biggest thing I'll say. Okay. It's just kind of coming to me. And it would be, I remember when I was making like 70, I was a young guy. I was like 18 years old, and I was making like $75,000 a year. And I was totally happy with it. I was stoked. And I said, and I remember, like, just, it was a plateau, if you will, for me, kind of in my short career so far. And I remember hiring this person. I hired this lady. Her name was Rachel Dolan. And she comes on board with our team, and she looks at me, and I put her on a commission pay scale. And she goes, look, in order for me to make the money I need to make, we have to do more money. Like, this school's got to do bigger numbers. And I remember thinking, like, well, I don't need it to do more money. I'm fine. But because I cared about her, I doubled my efforts. And in turn, I made more money, right? Really, I didn't do it for me. I did it because she needed it. So what that taught me was this lesson of, like, we'll do a lot for ourselves, but if you can put some people around you that you care about a lot, you will do more for them than you'll do for you. So, you know, when I look at my students, when I look at my instructors, dude, I care for them a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to work. I truthfully don't need to work right now to support my lifestyle. Now, granted, if I 10X my lifestyle, I'd need to go back to work. But to live the lifestyle that I'm living now, I don't need to work. And so I work so hard now. Why? I think the reason why, which is a question you love to ask, is like, because I have people in my life that I care about. I want to support them. I want to do more and be more, and I have this just internal drive to grow. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I care for them, and if I grow, then they grow, and they make more money, and they become more successful, and they provide for their family. So get around a group of people that maybe even rely on you, staff or family, and I think if you really truly care for them, you'll up level your level of success, because it's more about them. And I think I'm not a parent, but I've heard other parents have told me that they'll do more for their kids than they would for them. And I see it, because parents will pay for their kids to be in our program. They might not pay for them, but they'll pay if their kid wants it, or they'll pay if their kid. So I think that's what I'm trying to say. Is get a group of people that you care about, that you want to be successful, man. That's been big for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is so super huge, man. Albert Einstein said that if you don't be a person of success or motivated by success, but be a person of value, and the success will come. And it's kind of like
that.
You know, like rising tide lifts all ships, and you elevate people. And I mean, Zig Ziglar's most famous quote that he ever quoted. And Tom Ziegler, you know, he's on my show last month. He always says, he's like, if you help enough people get what they want, you will eventually get what you want. It's just, it's not a selfish motivation. It's just the fact that that's the way it is. I've helped people do certain things, and then my name comes to their mind when somebody asks them, hey, do you know a person? Do you know this somebody? Do you know anybody who, and like, oh, you know, I do know a guy. You know, and he helped me, and you know, and so we almost get referrals by the value that we provide someone else's life and the impact difference that we make in someone's life. Dude, it's super huge, man. Always be a person of value. Absolutely. Yep.
And to tack on to that, I also know from personal experience, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling stressed, you could be feeling all these different emotions on the entrepreneurial journey. But if you're in that place, one of the best ways to get outside of that, those feelings, is not to focus more on yourself, but it's just to do what you just said. Go to somebody, go add value to someone else, and you can snap out of it that soon when you become someone that's focused on others. So I think it has multiple benefits to be a person that's giving and serving.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. So what was the best part about your transformation?
Wow. What was the best part of my transformation? Man, it's like there's so many good things.
Well, I've been following you for you know, ever since the conference. So I answer and then maybe you can. So I think so. Check this out, man. And for the listeners that don't know Sam, like, you've got to go back and check out some videos. Like, dude, I was so pumped. Like, I'm, you know, like John Roman says, like, you know, in the front row, dude, I was in your front row from like Facebook, you know, as I saw the video of you getting a next level black belt, you know, yeah. Like I was watching your routine and I was like, dude, like I would look like a fool. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I would look like the Kung Fu hillbilly. You know what I mean? Like, the guy on Facebook's got like 40 million downloads. Like, I would look like that guy, you know, like, but you look so like you definitely have done this before, you know,
and
that confidence about you. And like, for me, I was like, dude, look at Sam go, you know? So for me, dude, that was my best part, you know, 'cause I see the videos and I see all the promo stuff you guys put out and see the matches that you guys go to. But dude, that was cool, man. That was cool for me.
Oh, that's awesome. That was a super big highlight to get my fifth degree black belt. There's 10 levels in our system. So I up leveled to fifth degree, and it was a super cool, that was absolutely a magic moment. And that's a lot about my journey. I have, martial arts is one of those things you can do for the rest of your life. It's kind of like golf. You don't ever out age it. You just, maybe you move up a little bit on the tees, you know, or martial arts, you take away all the heavy impact stuff, but you can do it. And it's a great, my instructor always told us that he would have been in a, doctors told him he would have been in a wheelchair without it. So martial arts and being a martial artist and being someone that takes care of his body has been great. But I thought of something too, Sean, while you're talking, thanks for
sure.
throwing that in there. But I thought of something too, and I just would have to say, this might sound cliche, but it's true. It's like, who you get to become. Like, we all know we can't take money with us, and I got to remind myself when we pass, and I got to remind myself of that some days. But it's like, am I becoming? I always try to check in with just who I'm becoming, man. Because like you said, it's transformation, and it's a constant thing. And it's like, am I becoming a more loving person? Am I becoming a more giving person? Am I becoming a person that thinks bigger? Like, if you, no matter what you're doing, if you're becoming the type of person that you really truly envision, you truly want, then you're winning. You're winning. Who cares,
dude,
how much you have in the bank account? Like, you're winning.
Yeah, I'm the first one to cash the check, though. But at the end of the day, dude, it's all about, you know, who you can become. Absolutely, dude. And that goes with our transformation, because we're never – I'm not the same person I was a year ago. You know what I mean? I mean, in a year, I've accomplished so many cool things. And I feel like I'm just getting started. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, man, because at the Sacramento conference in California, I'd never been there, never been to In-N-Out Burger. I'm like, I was just the fact that I was at In-N-Out Burger, because I've heard so many people talk about it.
Right.
I'm like, this is so cool. Like, I'm at a place that I've never been and everybody talks about. For
What's
me,
with
this it? Is so cool. And then I did Uber for the first time, which was another experience all in itself.
Yeah.
So it was like that moment, like, I'm not who I was even in October. I'm different now, you know, and it's huge as long as you're on a steady journey, step by
right.
step.
That's
yeah,
right,
man.
Yeah.
So
I've
with
never
the best
done,
part
I've
always
the
comes the worst part.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Say, I've always done I've done the Uber. I've never done the In-N-Out Burger. I'm not even sure what that is, but it sounds cool.
It's dude, it's like way worse than McDonald's and Burger King. Like, I felt so lethargic afterwards.
Right.
Like, so bad. It's so bad for you, but it was so good.
Awesome.
So with the best part, you know, always has to come a worst part. So what do you think was the worst part about your transformation?
Yeah, I'd say the worst part about my transformation so far, the worst part of my transformation. Wow. You know, it's funny. I want to go immediately to a failure. But then when I really, I mean, I could say that the worst part, the first thing that popped in my head was, well, the worst part of my transformation was when I bought these two martial arts schools and I thought everything was going to go great and it didn't. And I had to fire a bunch of people and the FBI got involved with one of, you know, like all this stuff happened and that, not because of anything I did, because we had to fire a staff member and they did something and it was all this stuff. And, you know, I could go there, but I got to be honest, in hindsight, as most of the people listening, I'm sure, can say, is that those things become the best experiences. They become the things that we learn the most from. But, but if you were to talk to me about a low, I'd say that was a low. You know, that was a time where I'd never lost money in business before. And
scary.
I got to that. You got to the point, it was scary. It was a low and a scary. Absolutely. But you push through, you know. You said, you mentioned resilience earlier. That's been, man, you got to get back up.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. So through this whole transformation, and you know, you bought the studios and you've been working, and now you open up a leadership school, and you've got, you know, two of the ones that you run, and it just seems like there's a lot of moving parts. So who has been through it all? Who has been your biggest influencer?
Good question. And you keep, I just want to say that I love that you keep using the word transformation, because I was the shy, introverted, typical homeschool kid.
Really?
Look you in the eyes and shake your hands at the same time. So you talk about transformation. Like, I want people to know that are listening to this. I was not confident. I did not think I could run a business. I did not. It was just people that influenced me and believed in me along the way. And so there has been that transformation. And I would say it's the biggest influencers have been, you know, I'd say initially my parents, just huge pouring into me. And then I would say, other than that, I really latched on to my first martial arts instructor. I had two martial arts instructors, Master Clements and Master Arthur, who just took me under their wing and believed in me and were able to mentor me. And that's so key, I feel like, in anybody's life. And then after that, someone from a distance, Tony Robbins.
Oh, okay.
I connected with his energy. I spent the big bucks to go to all of his seminars and just soaked up every ounce of him that I could. So I think, you know, that hopefully that gives you an example of the people that were close to me impacting me, and also I got the guy from a distance that I just kind of really,
perfect,
really listened to and tuned into.
Yeah, I told my mom I was going to go to a Tony Robbins seminar this year. She's like, that's awesome. Who is that?
That's cool.
I'm like, Mom, come on, Tony Robbins, like motivational speaker Tony Robbins. She's like, nope. I'm like, you're messing with me. She goes, dead serious, who is he? I'm like, just Google Tony Robbins. I was like, you want to be successful? And what's crazy is I come from an entrepreneurial family. Like,
that's
literally
funny.
I come from an entrepreneurial family. And my mom does not know who Tony Robbins is. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, you need to go YouTube some stuff. You're going to spend an entire Sunday YouTubing things. She goes, I got time for that. I got things to do. So,
it's Shallow Hal, right? I mean, he's starting the movie.
Yeah, seriously. And you know what's funny is that's the typical entrepreneurial attitude is, I got time for that. I got things to do. You know, like, that's our soft way of saying, no, that's dumb and I don't want to do that.
That's true.
Know?
That's funny.
So,
Yeah,
so with
true.
Your influences come supporters. Okay. Who has been your biggest supporter? Oh, and I'm going to make it hard for you. You can't name your parents.
Yeah, that's good. Man, you are making it hard for me. I did have so many, but a biggest supporter along the way, if I had to pick one person, I would say
You have to pick one person, but supporters.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, my brother Tim Wiegert. Tim was a good guy. Not in that he wasn't really like the rah rah cheerleader guy for me, but he was just a friend, and he worked alongside of me. And he achieved – so he runs one of our most successful schools. And actually, he runs one of the most successful schools in the United States right now, the martial arts school.
Cool.
Yes. And it's definitely in the top 1%. But he's – he's just watching him and being able to be his friend and also his mentor was a really cool experience. And he's taken martial arts to a whole new level for himself. He's, you know, competing a lot now to win a world championship. So he was a big supporter in a way of like – just again, from a distance, but man, my family for sure. I mean, I'll name him.
That's awesome, man. That's That's so awesome. I like it when it's like, because, you know, it's to me, you know, there's two shades, you know, my mom and dad were cheering me on and everybody was kind of like, you know, pushing me and telling me I could keep going. But when you can do it together, because everybody says, oh, we can't get into business with family. Oh, it'll ruin you. I can't. But when it's successful, man, is like a beautiful thing.
That's
know, it's just, man, so it's amazing to see. So, so where are you headed now, man? You got any new adventures coming up? Businesses, family, like what is on the horizon for Sam and his life?
Man, awesome question. I love talking about this. I'm a visionary, remember?
I know, right?
That's my question. Where am I going? I feel like I'm building a couple orchards right now. One of the orchards is my real estate company. I have a real estate company called Life Door Rentals. And it truly is just that. It's we put communities of people in homes and they do life together. I actually had someone, you know, it's basically an adult roommate situation. You have a furnished house. It's in a nice area of town and they rent out a room. Maybe they're in a transition. Maybe they're going through a divorce. And it's just, it's built around positive people that want to do life and want to have a nice place to live, but maybe don't want to, you know, pay for a full place. Works out well for me. The return on investment on these houses is great, but it's I get to pour into these people to a small extent as well. It's not my main focus, but we actually did a little event where we all got together the other day. You know, it was about a month or two back, and we all watched the "I'm Not Your Guru" Tony Robbins video. And at that party, two of our people, you know, met up and are actually struck up a relationship and may get married, and they're moving in together in a month or so. And so relationships happen.
Oh, man.
I'm passionate about building that business and just continuing to open these houses that provide great, positive places for people to live and a real home. So that's one. The second thing I'm most excited about is my martial arts business. I really, truly believe that Up-Level Martial Arts, which is what we've recently rebranded to, Up-Level Martial Arts is on the verge of making a big – it is making a big difference, but it's on the verge of just really popping. And I've got some cool things in the works for that, and we're just experimenting with edutainment and infotainment, which are just kind of new words that have popped up, which are really have to do with just mixing entertainment with information or entertainment with education and just – doing it, just teaching martial arts in a fun way, teaching martial arts in a hip way, teaching martial arts with lights and speakers and sound system and audio visual and effects and just I'm excited about that. So I'm really growing that business.
Awesome.
I'm growing my tribe, and we're doing some really, really, really cool things that, you know, are just they're fun. And it has to do with just taking martial arts to new horizons. Martial arts has been taught the same way for a long time. It's very traditional, and I love tradition.
Yeah,
and I love the discipline, but I wanna give it a little bit of an update. So that's my vision.
A little
right now.
Innovation.
Innovation. Yeah. That's right.
Perfect.
So that's the plan, man.
Well,
as far as me personally, I just think
I love
a beautiful girl I'm dating for the last couple of years, and excited to continue in that relationship and grow it.
All right.
And. So that's a cool part of my life too. Thank you.
So I love it. And I know that we can't ever do it alone, you know, and there's people that come into our life for a reason, for a season, for a short time, a long time. But
right.
I firmly believe that everybody who is placed in our life, who we have direct or indirect contact, like I call indirect contact, like, you know, like I met a couple people the other day and we're like, hey, what's up, man? We'll shoot a couple emails back and forth. And then, you know, we're kind of just waiting to see what happens. You know what I mean? Like kind of like indirect contact, you know?
Sure.
But we can't ever do these things alone. So what do you think was the best resource that you found with no one's help during your journey?
And remind me, when you say no one's help, what does that mean to you?
Like you, so for example, like I know that I need something. I don't know what it is, but I know I need something. And maybe like I was searching for places to speak at, and what I found was the One Life Fully Lived conference. I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. Nobody showed me what it was. Nobody told me, like, you should do this. Oh, my gosh. Or, like, you're at a library or a bookstore, like Books a Million, and, like, I know that I need a business book. I just don't know what book it was. And then all of a sudden you find, like, I don't know, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and it changes your life. You know, like the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell changed my life. I just a book that I found, and that started me on my leadership journey.
Right.
So I ask you, is there something that you found or that you used? Maybe Maybe you just stumbled into a karate studio one day and goes, I don't know what this is about. Well, let me see. Nobody pushed you there. You just stumbled into it. You see what I'm saying?
1,000,000%. So totally got you. Yeah, I'll give you my top two. I got two that pop into my mind.
Perfect.
And they are two very events that, depending on what you believe in, they're providential. I believe I was guided by God, and they were not my own doing. And one was martial arts. You hit the nail on the head, man. It was martial arts was something I wanted to quit. I didn't like it. I told my mom never to take me back to class. But my mom had paid for three. Yeah, it's true. My mom had paid for three lessons, and she said, I paid for three lessons? You're going to three lessons. And I was like, I did what my mom said. So I went to the third, and on that third lesson, I think it was the second or third lesson, this little girl came up to me. I'll never forget her. Her name was Katie, and she shook my hand. She was really beautiful, and she goes, hey, I want to just, like, say hey. And, like, I've seen you here at the karate school, and good to see you. And she was this great student, and I had a crush, man. And ever since then, I honestly was in martial arts because this girl inspired me to be in martial arts and inspired me to be great. And I wrote her a letter thanking her years later and said, wow, my life is so rich because of martial arts. And she said it made her cry, and I was crying. It was just a beautiful moment of gratitude for something that I was ready to quit. And honestly, I didn't even want to go to in the first place. My mom made me go, but oh my gosh, has it changed my life? So that's a big
one. Mic drop.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that one. Yeah, I'll leave it at that one. That's a good one.
Perfect. So, yeah, I just blows my mind, right? Just everything happens just the way it was supposed to work out, you know?
That's right.
Okay, so the second part of that is, who gave you the best resource that you used, and maybe what was the resource?
Yeah, totally. I'll do that. I have a friend I met at a – I met a guy at an Anthony Robbins conference called Business Mastery probably 5 or 6 years ago. His name is Mo.
Okay.
And Mo and I just hit it off. We took a tour of Zappos together and just partied it up a little bit and had some fun. And he – I was driving through Fairfax, Virginia one day, and for some reason he had seen something on my Facebook and he commented, and I said, hey, I'm going to be in Fairfax, Virginia. That's where you live, right? And he said, yeah, come by. And we had this great dinner. And halfway through this dinner, Mo's a real successful guy, runs several companies. He looks over at me. He goes, I have what you need. And I remember being like, sure. He goes, no, I'm serious. I have what you need. And I'm like, okay, like, what you got? And he goes, I'm a part of a group. It's called GoBundance. It is a tribe of healthy.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, generous men that choose to lead epic lives. And he goes, I want you to join. And I had been looking for a group of men to hold me accountable. And this was what I needed, my friend, and it's changed my life. And I am forever in his debt and forever grateful to Mo Chomil for pointing me in this direction. And anyway, I ended up joining this mastermind called GoBundance, and these guys have become some of my best friends. And they hold me to a high standard. And just to give you an idea, Sean, of the high standard that they hold you to, right before this call, this is no exaggeration, I was on a call with these GoBundance guys. And one of the guys said he wants to have a six-pack by September 17th. And the other guy, one of my other pod members, it's a small group, said, okay, great. Like, what's the punishment if you don't? He goes, you know what? I'll bet $1,000. And the guy goes, come on, you can do better than that. He goes, you said your goal was to have $500,000 in the bank by the end of the year. He goes, I think you can do better than that. And so the other guy that wants the six pack says, okay. He goes, I'll commit. He goes, the other guy says, okay, great, commit or don't do it. He says, $100,000 that I will post a picture of a six-pack by September 17th, or I pay the group $100,000.
Oh, my God. Can I be in this group?
And I said, you got to be kidding me. He goes, no. He goes, I'm committed. And I said, and honestly, I just was grateful and inspired, but grateful that I have a group of guys that are willing to put their money where their mouth is and are willing to not just talk about success, are willing to not just talk about getting healthy,
right.
Willing not just to talk. They will do shit. They will do shit. They will do it. And I love it. And so that is the group I joined.
Cool, man. Yeah. I'm in M1 unit seven. And it's been awesome. I mean, M1 has been amazing, and I've wanted to, dude, honestly, man, I've thought about quitting so many times. Like, this, man, it's just, this doesn't serve me. Like, I don't know. And I don't know. Am I really, I'm paying this money for the, you know, but then I look at it and I'm like, dude, I'm worth the investment. Like, I'm really worth, and then another curveball be thrown. Like, a guy like you comes on like a Monday night call and says, all right. I'm like, this is why I joined, you know, like every time I That's think right. that, man, this isn't for me, or I don't know, another curveball gets thrown. And then they're like, let's go to Mexico and hang out. I'm like, oh my God. You know what I mean? So yeah dude, I love the guys in M1. I've gotten to know a lot of the dudes there, and it's been really great. So hopefully, and my millionaire date is November 2021. I will be net worth of $1 million, November 2021. And that's what I'm doing, man. I got 4 years, dude. I got 4 years to go.
So you are going to crush that.
I'm working on it. I'm hoping
that's
so.
Amazing.
So,
amazing.
So
wow.
this is your moment. This is your moment, man. Shameless plug moment. This is your time to plug a quote, friend, your website, Facebook, what you're doing. This is your time to shine, bro. Go.
Man, if I had to plug something, I thought about this because you told me I'd have this opportunity. I said, if I had to plug something, you know what I would really plug? Plug that every parent on this that's listening to this, if you have a kid, or even if you have a nephew or a niece, or if you have any kids in your life,
right.
And not even kids, man. If you are an adult, like, I just plug everybody on getting involved in martial arts. Martial arts has totally changed my life in terms of the discipline it's created for me, in terms of the focus, in terms of my confidence as just a freaking man to be able to walk into a place. Where was I? I was in the Caribbean. I was on a cruise and I got off on one of the islands and there was a situation and just, it was kind of, and it escalated pretty fast and my girl was there. Just the confidence that I have to be able to, well, number one, de-escalate a situation, because you learn that too in martial arts, but also number two, like to be able to defend yourself mentally, physically is amazing. So if you don't have that, go study, go make it a ritual, go do some martial arts. Not only will you tap into, you know, your real masculine essence of kicking and punching and fighting, and it's great to relieve stress and just get crap out of your system emotionally and mentally and physically, and you sweat.
Right.
I mean, you got to do that. But I enrolled my girlfriend's nephew in martial arts, and he comes from a real, real, real just hectic family situation and potentially some abuse going on. And, you know, the kid's 7 years old, and it has radically changed his life, man. So my pitch is go get people that you care about involved in martial arts. And it's a commitment. Don't do it for a week. Like, you got to commit to it and you got to do it. But even if you just do it once a week, you know, and make it a ritual, it will, earning your black belt is kind of like becoming that millionaire. And I'm really serious about that. It's like when you tie that black belt on, there's many, many millions of people that can say they've taken karate, but there are very few that can say, you know, I am a black belt. And so, you know, I believe my mission in the world is to help create, black belt leaders that are true leaders in their community. So go do that, man. That's what I'm here for.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
A pitch.
So, so as we wrap up, Life Transformation Radio listeners, we're wrapping up here. So if you want to ask Sam a call, the number is 657-383-1109. Again, 657-383-1109. So, dude, as you wrap up, man, deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire somebody.
I'll give one from my person, just what I'm going through right now, and that is this.
Okay.
Life will change. Life will change, but your consistency towards your goals, your consistency is key. So keep pounding, go out there, make some stuff happen, and go achieve those dreams, man. Go continue on your path to transformation. Just don't give up. That's the only secret, man. Just don't give up.
Bam. And that's the rules that I'm learning, man. Like, make it happen no matter what.
That's
never
right.
Never give up.
Yeah.
Make it happen no matter what.
That's right.
If you want it bad enough, you'll go get it.
That's
like,
right.
Just saying. If you want
that's
it
right.
bad enough, you'll go get it. So here's our call to action, bro. Here's our call to action. So what should someone do today as a call to action to up-level their life?
Why don't we go with this one from our call today? Why don't you go
and
connect with somebody here's how I'll put it. Go connect with a tribe, with some people in that tribe that you either care about or could care about. If you don't have one, go check into the M1 group, you know, that you're a part of, which is an amazing group. Go join GoBundance. Go get around some people. Your call to action, guys, is to just go get around some people that are doing life at a higher level than you and some people that you don't want to let down, and they will take you to a new level.
Boom. Yep. Because everybody always says that in the community that we're in, man, they always say that you're the average of the five people that you hang around the most, not including like your wife, kids, family, you know, but just the people that you hang around.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean? And you know,
right.
and Tony Robbins, I heard this today. I love it, man. I think I've heard this a bunch of times, but for some reason today, it really stuck with me. And Tony Robbins always says that where focus goes, energy flows.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, if you're focusing on the wrong things in life, man, that's where energy is going to go. If you're focusing on things that aren't going to serve you, that's where your energy is going to go. And you're committing spiritual suicide on yourself. You know, you're never going to be fulfilled. You're never going to be, you're just always going to be wanting, you know, and I call them happiness chasers. They're going to be happiness chasers.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So yeah, dude, I love
beautiful.
It. I love
that's
it.
A beautiful
dude.
Nugget, man.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show and devoting your time. It's been amazing. I took a bunch of notes. I've got that, the book written down, which was, Soar with Your Strengths. I'm going to look it up, add it to my reading list. Dude, this has been amazing, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Sean, it's been my pleasure. And I just want to say to you, please keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. You are on the right track. You are on the right track. Keep going, keep pounding. You're doing some cool stuff. And I know your listeners are going to be very, not only impressed with what you're doing, but take some value away from what you're trying to create here and what you are creating. So proud of you.
Thanks,
and,
bro.
Honored to be on. Honored to call you friend. Keep up the good work. And if you're coming to One Life this year, let's connect. If not.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'm coming to Philly. Yep.
I'll
I'm coming to Philly.
There. I'll see you there.
Perfect. Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, man. Again, thank you so much. Life Transformation Radio, this has been another episode. And if you took anything away from this show, please. I want you to leave some comments, leave some messages. It'll be uploaded to iTunes and Stitcher. Like, share, comment, review. I love reading some of the comments that you guys put out. If you got anything from this show, man, go to iTunes and download, share with your friends, and just get the word out, man. This is what we do here every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and every other Friday. And we have amazing guests that are just crushing life. So, again, I ask you, like, share, comment, go to iTunes, leave some stuff for me to read. And I appreciate everybody listening to the show. As I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to go out and become a value to someone else. Live out your own values and live by example. I call it living your brand. Until next time, have a good night.
Good night.